That song surely has a great thought, doesn't it? Peel out the watchword. You know, the watchword is true-hearted. You know, I really believe this morning that God wants those of us who are His children to be pure and true-hearted. I wanted to tell you, first of all, that the groundhog saw his shadow this morning. And I think that possibly means more winter weather on the way. Is that right or not? Is it right? Wayne knows. He keeps up with the groundhogger, don't you, Wayne? Yeah. Anyway, just keep that in mind. But you know, February is also a unique month in that it is heart month. It's that time when people start thinking about that little heart of yours and is it really beating properly and is it doing the right thing that it ought to be doing? You and I have what we call a spiritual heart as well. And I think it's amazing that God analogously, I'll get it out here in a minute, speaks about the human heart when he talks about spiritual heart. We often sing that old hymn, "Is thy heart right with God?" And what we're saying is your life right with God? Does your heart beat consistent with the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ? Solomon said many years ago that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues of life. Our heart is so important. If I were to ask you this morning, and I will, what kind of heart do you actually possess or do you have? Do you know? Do you even know this morning much about your heart, spiritually speaking? Let me read a few passages of Scripture, and we're going to talk about a few hearts this morning that the Bible actually describes. In the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 32, Paul says to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye kind one to another. Think about that word, tender-hearted. You know, can you be tender-hearted without showing emotion? I think you can. But a lot of times people see someone cry or maybe shed tears, and they say, well, they're just real tender-hearted, which may be the case, or it may not be the case at all. We have to start each day with a positive thought and a grateful heart. I really believe that God is telling us that. And I want us to talk about several hearts this morning. One I want to mention to you is about the hearts that grieve God. Have you ever really thought about your heart? Do I grieve God? My actions, my words, does it please God or does it grieve God? The Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says, and God saw the wickedness of man back during the days of Noah, that it was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We look at our world today and the people of our world, and we say, well, you know, the world just couldn't get any worse than it is. I've had people tell me that, don't you think we're living in the end time because of the wickedness of man? We know that the love of many shall grow cold, and it will be that way. But at the same time, I don't think it is as bad as it was during the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, or perhaps during the days of Noah. But listen to what he's saying here. And that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Could you imagine living in a world that was evil continually? You know, there are some redeeming things about our society today. All is not evil. But it was back during the days of Noah. And the Bible says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Several years ago, someone was telling me that they didn't believe that God was an emotional God, that God could cry, that God could be one who experienced joy, that God could have emotions like you and I have. Well, let me tell you something. God made us in his likeness. We were fashioned in the likeness of God. That's why I believe that God says that He has emotions. He is stirred in His heart. He grieves over what He sees. And I believe that God is grieving today over those that are not Christians and those that have not accepted our Lord and our Savior, that it grieved Him at His heart. It goes on to say that He made man, and He said, I will destroy man whom I have created. I'll tell you, God was upset at what was going on. We have to be tough-minded as God's children, but we have to be tender-hearted and compassionate as well. When Frances Havergal wrote that song, she wrote it to impress people that were not Christians, that we ought to be peeling out, that is, laying out before the world, the watchword, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord, and trying to bring people to Christ, and that we are true-hearted. We have a lot of people that are not true-hearted in today's world. They're false-hearted. We need to have a heart that beats for God. You know, if your heart, physical heart, is not beating right, and a lot of times people go for wellness checks, and they want to make sure the heart is not in AFib, and that the heart is beating like it ought to be, 72 times a minute, then if it's not doing that, then we think that something is wrong, and we want to do something about that. Well, if you look into your spiritual heart today, and you realize that there's some things that are wrong in your spiritual heart, maybe something you said, it may be something that you have done, it may be something that you've left undone, and the spiritual heart is not what it ought to be, then I think that God is saying unto us to get it right, to make sure that it is beating right. What kind of heart do you actually have? In the book of Joshua 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, this is Joshua speaking, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the heart that is right with God is one that's focused on serving God. And that's a big, big word, to serve God. It's not just to sing to God. It's not just to pray to God. That's what we do when we come together. But when we leave here, we go out to serve our God. And Joshua, again, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. Every one of us have an opportunity to make a choice about who we are going to serve. Is it going to be God or is it not? And then in Deuteronomy 30, verse 10 and 12, he says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God, notice this, with all of thine heart and with all of thy soul, all of thy soul. For this is the commandment of God, and I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. You remember there was a young man that came to Jesus one time, and he asked him, he said, Master, he said, what is the greatest commandment of all time? He's like us. You know, we're inquisitive about the commands of Jesus. And if someone were to ask you that question, what do you think is the most important command of Jesus Christ? What would you say? Some of you might say, well, it's to go to church. Some of you might say, well, no, it's to give to God. Some might say, oh, no, it's to be baptized. Or others would say, it's to help your neighbor. And that's not to negate that all of those are right in some sense. They're all important. He said, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden. Jesus said to that young man, it is the greatest command to love the Lord your God, here it is, with all of your heart. You know, a person's heart has to be tender to accept the will of God. Because sometimes we develop what we call hard hearts. and our hearts are not right with God. In Deuteronomy 30:15 again, he said, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land wheresoever thou goest. I've always said that the future of this great country that we call America is dependent upon whether or not we are following God with our heart. You know, we always try to make it clear when we say to someone, I love you. And you know what we always say? I love you with what? I love you with all of my heart. Maybe you said that to your wife. Maybe you said that to your girlfriend. Maybe you said it to your husband. But I love you with all of my heart, all of my being. Why would you need a tender heart so as to forgive? You know, we do things sometimes for which we need forgiveness. All of us do. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 23. But it takes a tender heart to forgive someone. Sometimes people are obstinate and they refuse to forgive someone else, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. And that is a terrible, terrible feeling. I would hate to live with that kind of feeling in my heart, that I just could not forgive and go on. And so it takes a tender heart to forgive someone. But thirdly, there are those hearts that accomplish the will of God. And hopefully you're doing that today. Hopefully all of you in your life are doing what you can to accomplish the will of God. You know, we go through issues in life. I don't care who we are. And sometimes people wonder whether or not I'm doing the will of God or whatever, or if God is with me. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't put out the fire when they were thrown into the furnace. God didn't put out the fire, but you know what God did? He put Jesus in there with them. Go back and read the word. There was a fourth man in the fire. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, today. It's not really a matter of getting the devil out of your life. It's putting Jesus in your heart. He will override the evil one. He is the one who puts out the fires, and he is the one who will always be with you when you are trying to accomplish his will. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 17 through 19, we read these words, and it was in the heart of David, my father, to build the house. You remember about David's life, how he had killed his 10,000s, and how he had sinned against Bathsheba. He had committed adultery. But notice what the word says. It was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. He wanted to build the temple, but God did not allow him to do it. He said, it's good that it's in your heart. It was good, but God did not allow him to build the temple. He let his son build the temple, Solomon, as we remember. You see, our hearts either justify or condemn us, one or the other. You know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other, Matthew chapter 6. And if we really love God, we're going to do his will. But sometimes our hearts will either justify or they will condemn us. In Matthew 5 and 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How pure is your heart? Is it heart? If you were to have a heart transfusion or transplant, would you want someone to give you a heart that wasn't beating right? No. You want a pure heart. And that's exactly what David asked in Psalms 51. When he said, create within me a new heart, O God, and then I will teach the transgressor of thy way. The heart's so important. Listen to what Christ said in Matthew 6 and verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why I've said many, many times, people that don't come to worship, you know what? Heart's not there. I remember hearing a story one time about an old lady who came to church hobbling with a cane, barely making it out of her car, barely making it into the building, barely sitting down and then glorifying God. And someone asked her how she could get out on such a bad rainy day. And how could you come to worship like that? She said, my heart got there first. And you know what? When we put our heart where it ought to be, we will get done what God has asked us to do. In Matthew's account of the gospel, chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, who can, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Have you ever heard people say something maybe they shouldn't say? Maybe it was evil, or maybe it was profanity, or whatever it may have been. And then someone looks on and sees what happens and says, oh, he didn't mean anything by that. Or he didn't mean that. Did you or did you not? If out of the heart the mouth speaks, that tells me that you didn't mean it when you said it. Better think about what you say. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Matthew chapter 12. And even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. 1 John 3 and verse 20. He does know all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence from God. 1 John 3 and verse 21. But sometimes our heart does condemn us. Brings me to point number 5. There are hearts that are active. That's what I want. I want to be active in God's kingdom, don't you? I want my heart, my physical heart, to beat right. I've had heart attacks before, stents placed in my heart, and apparently it's beating right this morning. Thank you, God. But there are times when the heart is not beating right. There are times when we have to have heart surgery. And David really asked for the first heart surgery, didn't he? He said, create within me that new heart. Give me. And he noticed what he said. He didn't say, I want you to go in there and work on my heart. I want you to give me a new heart. A new heart. Psalms 51. But we must have a heart that is active. For Jesus, in the book of Matthew 12, said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. A man who is giving out good things, or a man who is a good man, or doing what is right, it is coming from his heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. For this people's, their heart has waxed gross. We don't use that word wax much in today's economy. It just simply means that it has grown terrible. It's not what it ought to be. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, they should hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, sometimes people just have hard hearts. You know, sometimes people get hard-hearted when it comes to worship and when it comes to going to church, because a lot of people think everybody goes to church a hypocrite. I don't believe that. If you go to church, I'll tell you this, looking to become offended, you'll succeed. It'll happen. And if you go to church looking for places where people fall short, you will find them. The church is not a rest home for saints, but it is a hospital for sinners. And if you go to church looking for imperfection, you will see it. If you go to church looking for an opportunity to worship alongside of broken people just like you, you will find it. And if you go to church looking for a place to serve, you will also find one. And if you go to church to love people like Jesus, you will. You will find what you look for in life. And isn't that what Christ is saying in this particular passage? You will find it within your heart. When I think about the heart, I think about tender mercies. You know, God is a tender God. He is. Now, that's not to say that God cannot be just. It's not to say that God will not punish evil. He will. But we know that He judges us by what's in our heart. He knows what's in your hearts this morning. Whether you believe that or not, He knows it. And that's why Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. You see, someone that lies, someone that cheats, someone that injures other with their unkind words, those words are not coming from a pure heart, but they're coming from an evil heart. And then there are those whose hearts are away from God. Someone said one time, people come sometimes to worship God or to the service, but they miss the worship. You know, we always pray sometimes, and the men are up here waiting on the table and serving Lord's Supper. We always pray that we have the frame of mind that will be acceptable unto God, that when we partake of the bread, we reflect back upon the life of Jesus, or when we drink that fruit of the vine, that we're reminded of His blood that was shed for us and for our sins. And our mind has a way of drifting off, and our heart is not right with God. We do it with songs. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 19 that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord? That is from within us, our spiritual being. And when we sing without it coming from the heart, we're just making a noise. We're just speaking words. That's all we're doing. That's why the Bible says not only do we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, Colossians chapter 3, but we also sing with melody in our heart before God. I think Jesus really described such folks here in Matthew 15, 8. He said, they draw nigh unto me with their lips and their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's like saying, I want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord, but you don't really want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. It's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, number one. You sing that song, like, I want to seek the kingdom first. But down deep in your heart, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. Jesus said that we're to put Him first, Matthew 6. And if we put Him first, it comes from a heart that gets there first. How can you tell whether someone has a heart that's away from God? Listen to Matthew 15 and verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defileth the man. We defile our hearts when we speak words that are unkind and unloving, and words that are not compassionate, and words that do not come from a tender heart. Let me ask you, do you have a heart for God? Is He first in your life above everything else? Then you have a heart for God. But if you put God or the church on the back burner, then what you are saying is that He's not number one. You see, God is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. The heart is, I guess you could say, the center of our affection and our emotion, but it's the center of our spirituality as well. The Bible says that God loves us with a pure heart. There are those tender moments when we come into the presence of God and we pray and we communicate with Him. And we say, oh God, cleanse my heart. Forgive all of my sins. I love you with all of my heart, more than anything in all of this world. But do you really? Proverbs 3:6 says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do you trust God with your heart? With all of your heart? Or just part of it? Proverbs 3 and verse 6. And then there are those hearts that are defiled. Defiled. For Matthew 15, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart, notice what happens, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. All of those things come from the heart. That's how it starts. And James gives the process when he says that man is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it will bring forth death. That's why you could safely say to someone, say, what do I need to do to be saved? Get your heart right with God. Get your heart right. For in Matthew 22, Jesus said unto the young man who came to him asking what he had to do to get to heaven, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first commandment. That's all he really asked for, wasn't it? But Jesus turned and gave him another commandment. And he said, the second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And what you are saying is that you must do it in God's way. And when we do it in God's way, His power will overtake us. And He will enable us to really live the kind of life that we ought to live. I hear people say, well, I'd become a Christian, but I know I just can't live it. No, you won't by yourself. But when a person becomes a Christian, when he is baptized and he is raised to a new life, God puts His Spirit in him that enables us to really live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life without God. Not going to happen. And then there are those with hard hearts. You ever been around people that are hard-hearted? I've been around people sometimes that are hard-hearted. They're hard to get along with. Matter of fact, you can make every effort to try to be at peace with people and to get along with them. And there is no getting along with people like that because they are hard-hearted. And you can't change them. And by the way, don't even try to change them. Only God can change them. God is the one who changes hearts. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So God says there are people that have hard hearts, impenitent hearts. That is, they're not going to change. How is it that some can be influenced and affected by the preaching of the gospel and respond in love to do the will of God and others who will not? In John the 6th chapter, I think one of the saddest pictures of the life of Jesus is when he was preaching and teaching about his life and how he had come into the world to die for fallen man. And the Bible says that many of them walked away and walked no more with him. Their heart was not right. Then who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. We know what's going to happen to folks like that. And that's the truth. But then last of all, there are those we call obedient hearts. Did you know that the Bible describes the obedient heart in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22? It's about a man by the name of Simon. And Simon had followed the apostles, and because he followed them, he learned a lot of things. One thing he learned is that he had to obey the gospel to get right with God. So he submitted unto New Testament baptism. He wanted to be saved. But then after he was saved and he had been baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin, Acts 2 and verse 38 and Romans chapter 6, and at the command of Jesus, Mark 16 verse 15 and 16, the Bible says that he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit of God was given. And then he turned to the apostles and he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said unto him, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps," listen to this, "the thought of thine heart." Remember that? It all goes back to the heart, doesn't it? "That your heart may be forgiven you, for I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." This was a Christian caught in disobedience. Well, what do you do when that happens? He said, "You pray God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven thee, and that none of these things that he had preached about would come upon him." But there are people who resist the will of God. "Don't bother me with the Bible. Don't talk to me about Jesus." But I'm telling you, folks, he's the one we need to be talking about. The thing that's going to change this old world is not another name in the Oval Office. It's not another congressman. It's not another senator. It's not another governor. But it is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who brings about the change. He teaches us to have a heart for God. And he teaches us how to live. The Bible says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people." That's just a good commentary, isn't it, on anything? I mean, it's your job. You work at it as if you're working with all of your heart, because you have to work at it like you're doing it for God, and in reality, you are. He told the churches of Asia that they were wrong, that their heart just simply was not right. And he says in Revelation 2:5, "Remember from whence you art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, else I will come quickly, and I will remove the candlestick from its place." Revelation chapter 3 said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Listen to what Romans 6 and 17 says, "But thanks be to God, that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." Did you know the Bible says, actually, in the book of Romans chapter 6, that when you and I are baptized, that we have a change of heart? That's right. "God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, having been delivered unto you, you became the servants of righteousness." That's why it's so important this morning, if your heart is not right with God, to get right with God. The Lord has no tolerance for those who are indifferent. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore repent. And I go back to that same question. What kind of heart do you have? Maybe it's time for inspection. Self-inspection. It's time for you to ask yourself and perhaps maybe pray as one prayed, "Dear God, no matter what happens, give me the heart that is willing to obey you. Whatever the cost may be, I will do it." That's the message of God. It's His words. It's His invitation to you. John wrote that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come and take of the fountain of the water of life freely. The question is, are you ready to develop a heart for God? This morning, as you search your heart of hearts, can you truthfully say that my heart is for God in every way? Or that there are some things that are miss? Some things that need to be changed. Maybe you need to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of your sins upon a heart that's really wanting to change. Wouldn't do you any good to get in water, folks, if your heart's not right. It'll do a lot of good if your heart's right. And you want the power of God to come upon you. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. And I hope that if you're here and you're not a Christian, that you'll come to Christ. Obey Him. And if you are a Christian and you know that down deep in your heart, you haven't been all that you should be. And you haven't been all that God wants you to be. But that's going to change. Let us stand and let us sing.